Welcome to our weekly Church on the Rock podcast. For more information, visit us at churchak.org, download our Church on the Rock AK app, or like us on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy our weekly podcast.
Thanks, Pastor Chris. Man, isn't Pastor Chris amazing? We love him, and I'm privileged to be able to give him a week off because he's about to head into 4 weeks of back-to-back preaching, which you all, I know, love, and I know he loves everybody here, but, you know, it's not just the person up front that makes the church happen, right? There's everybody around. There are people in kids' ministry. There are people in the kitchen. There are people in the sound booth. There are people who attend and just encourage one another that don't have formal roles. There are people who do that sort of thing all the way throughout the week. You know, that's the whole point of the series we're in, Body Parts, is that God has placed his people, his spirit in his people all the way throughout his kingdom. And there's not any one person that's more important than another. God indwells, he lives with each person in his church. That's you. And while Pastor Chris, Pastor Lori, Pastor Christine are usually the people up front with the attention, God's attention is on you. Wherever you're serving, whatever you're doing, he is seeing you, he values you, and if you are serving in one of those areas where you feel like, man, nobody sees me, I don't know if it's working, I don't know if it's worth it, and even if nobody sees it, nobody can see it, the Lord does, and he values you, and he thinks that you are an integral part of what he's trying to accomplish on the earth. So thank you for serving. And as Pastor Chris was saying earlier, there's this momentum building there's a sense of momentum and hope that God is up to something. I just want you to, I want to let you know that all of your insecurities, all of the wounds that you've gone through in the past, those things cannot hold back what God wants to do in your life. That his gifts for you, the momentum he's bringing you forward with, far outshine those things. So don't feel like you have to get it all together, completely healthy, completely whole before he can use you. Press onward to what he has for you right now because there's momentum happening. There's joy in this room over what God is doing in your life. So thank you for being part of God's kingdom. And without further delay, before we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you that you who are creator, transcendent above all, would find it valuable to spend time with me and with each individual, that you're both incomprehensible and also deeply knowable. We pray today that you would open our hearts to hear your word to each one of us today. And we're grateful for your presence, that we have never been far from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. We're continuing our body part series, the series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And like Paul introduces this section, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant about the gifts of about spiritual gifts. Ever feel like you're a little ignorant? Well, guess what? We are becoming less ignorant. So here we go. Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What's the point? The common good. Very good. Verse 27. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, then one of them that we're going to talk about today, administrations. Various kinds of tongues. Aren't you excited about administrations? Now, when you think about the gifts, spiritual gifts, you're like, yes, administration. We're going to worship now. We're going to be talking about administration today and a closely related gift, the gift of leadership. Romans 12, 6 and 8. Since we have the gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Administration and leadership. Now, I know that everybody here is like, I was hoping we would get to talk about spreadsheets in church today. Like, I was just putting together the perfect Excel sheet where all of the formulas lined up perfectly. And somebody else in here is like, I just finished labeling my storage room, and I can find everything whenever I need it. And walking in here today, you're like, I'm so grateful. The Spirit is moving. I can see it. I can feel it. Administration. What is administration? The Greek word here is kubernesis. Kubernesis. It's actually kind of, as it evolved through language, it's where we get the word gubernatorial. So it's kubernesis, to rule, to govern. The word picture that we see, this word using throughout Scripture, like in Acts 28 and Revelation 18, is the captain of a ship, master of a ship, governing the ship. And I immediately kind of connected with that imagery because I was thinking back to my time gillnetting, serving under Captain Steve. Captain Steve was kind of the quintessential sea captain. All the cliches about hard discipline, you do the work, you don't complain, you get it done. That was, he had this reputation for that. And even before the season began, he had us all, the whole crew, lined out on all these tasks. You find out what the boat work needs to do. You guys go take care of the nets. And he would show us every detail, down to how to tie a knot on a net, all the way up to the whole process of transporting the boat to the fishing grounds. Like the whole process, he had down, he knew the entire thing down to a science, the details. He knew how to organize people. He had a big crew for the fishing grounds. He made sure that he had somebody who knew how to cook, which is important. He also had somebody who knew how to work on engines, a mechanic, so that's important. And he knew he had people who could just work hard and lift heavy things, and that's why he had me there. And at one point, we had something go wrong with there was a rope that got sucked up, line got sucked up into the outdrive. And he's like, okay, now you need to go down as he's running the boat. Go down and take apart these six these bolts, stick your hand out into the ocean, do this stuff. He knew every detail, every bolt on the ship, on the boat. And he knew how to organize everything to accomplish what we needed to have happen. And Steve, as we were pulling out of port, he gave us this speech, which I think he gives every year. It went something along these lines. I'm the captain, and I expect you to follow my instructions immediately, and I expect you to get out of your bunks immediately when I call. And if you don't, we'll come back to port, and I will buy you a ticket home, and that will be the end. Oh, yes, sir. So Steve had everything lined out to a science, and when he wasn't working around the clock to kill fish, he was reading genetic escapement reports. Have you ever wondered about the genetics of salmon? Steve did. And he got the charts and the publications from the biologists of the state. And this cohort of salmon was born this many years ago, and we're expecting this many back, and this is based on this. This is their general behavior pattern. And he would pray at the beginning of the season to find out which river to fish. I mean, he had every detail mapped out, and everything run down to the most efficient means of killing as many fish as possible. And guess what we did? We killed a lot of fish. He was kind of this prime example of what kubernesis looks like in action. Every detail organized down to the minute piece in order to accomplish most efficiently whatever goal you have in mind. If you have this drive to organize, if you have this drive to make and enforce rules, if you have this drive to hold everybody on schedule, you might have the gift of administration. Leadership. Leadership is the word proestimi, which the word literally means to stand in front of. And the picture is that you're the one who goes ahead. If there's something that needs to be done, you're the first one to do it, and then invite everybody else to follow you. You're also the one who stands up in front of everybody to give them direction and tell them what to do. And Pastor Christine was like, yes, that's me. I love telling people what to do. And she's good at it. And so probably the person that might spring to mind from Scripture is King David. King David was anointed by the Lord to be king, and the current king at the time thought that was a bad idea, so in his jealousy, he tried to kill David. David ran out into the wilderness, running for his life, and all the scripture says that people who were discontent with life started following him. Like, David, you're running. Can I run with you? Sure. I'm just running out into the wilderness. What are you doing today? I'm going to kill some giants. Yeah, I'm going to do that too. And whatever David was going to do, he built this following, and what ended up happening was the Lord did bring him in to be king, but he took the kingdom that Saul had, which was oppressed on all sides from the enemies, and David unified it, expanded it to where all of the tribes were unified, and he brought peace by defending against all of the surrounding tribes. Now, what he did was he took all these disunified people and moved them together and built a nation out of them. He took a bunch of tribes and created a nation. He took a bunch of malcontents and turned them into an army. He had this ability to rally people around and turn them into something that they were not before. If you have this love for telling everyone where we should go together, if you're not afraid to make a decision on behalf of other people, and if you have the ability to make people want to do what you're telling them to do, go do this. Oh, yeah, I didn't realize I wanted to do that. If you have that ability, you might be a leader. You might have this gift. But are these really spiritual gifts? These seem kind of weird, right? They seem like things that we could just develop the skill in these different abilities. Some of them actually go wrong. Have you ever been hurt by the rules, like the systems and the policies? No, we can't do that. Sorry, we have a policy against it. I have this ministry I want to start. I feel like God is calling me to do this. Sorry, no, policy against it. We have these rules. Can we borrow the tablecloths? No, they're already folded and put away and labeled, and they're clean. You can't use them. Ever feel like you run into the rules? That, like, there are these administrators that just seem to get in the way. There's a sociologist named Max Weber, and he was examining all the rules of society, how they build and tend to never decrease. The rules always just expand. And he called it the iron cage of bureaucracy. Ever feel like you've been caged by the bureaucracy of the policies? That's kind of the dark side of administration. There's a dark side to leadership, too. There's a saying, maybe you've heard it, all power corrupts, power corrupts. I think it does tend to corrupt. And it corrupts in a couple different ways. One is shirking responsibility. Like, because I have my status and my title, I don't have to do the work, and I expect my followers to do the work. Have you ever had a leader dump their work on you so that they didn't have to do anything? It also corrupts in domineering. So now, because I'm the boss, I get to tell you what to do, and I get to take credit for your work, and I benefit while you suffer, and I'm going to just be a tyrant. Have you ever been under that sort of leadership too? Yeah, there are these dark sides to these things, and many here have been hurt at some time in your life by these things. And I believe that the Lord wants you to know that that's not what he's talking about when he's talking about Spirit-empowered administration and Spirit-empowered leadership. I believe he wants to help us forgive those who have hurt us, and he wants to heal us from the wounds that have been left behind and draw us into a healthy understanding of what God wants to do through these things, because they're healthy and they're good, and there are ways to express them within the church which actually benefit others for their good, like Scripture says. Well, there's also this movement, some areas I've come across that says, you know, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit, like Jesus says, is like the wind. You know, he blows around, and you don't know where it's coming from, you don't know where it's going, and so it is like the people who live by the Spirit. And that's true, that we do need to be kind of spontaneous and be able to respond in obedience to the Holy Spirit whenever he moves. But there's also larger weather patterns that are happening at the same time. There are weather patterns, a structure to the weather, and there's also the wind that you can't really predict where that wind is going to go. There are administrative structures, and there are flexibility. So if we believe that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, can direct our moments, I think we can believe that he can direct our plans. And spontaneity is not inherently more spiritual than planning. It's, are we being led by the Spirit in whatever task we're undertaking? I'm going to give you an example in a little bit about how I build in structures and policies to protect my ability to respond to the Holy Spirit. But that's getting ahead of myself. I think my response to people who would say that rules and policies and plans stifle the work of the Holy Spirit, I'd say that, first of all, the word gifts that we see in Scripture is the word that we get the word charismatic from. Charisma, charismata are these gifts. And all the gifts are charismatic. So I think in charismatic churches, we tend to say, it's the exuberant, exciting, charismatic experiences that are the Holy Spirit times. But what Scripture says is that every gift is charismatic and administration is a gift. So when you're sitting there working out your profit and loss sheets and you're feeling like, yes, the numbers just came together, I felt like the Lord was working on the budget. Glory to God. And you just launch into this charismatic moment of budgeting. Or you're in the board meeting, you're like, man, get praying, God, what do you want to do with this policy? And how do you want us to run this organization? And you feel like you got this, you with the work of the Holy Spirit, you craft this policy that's going to protect people. You're just like, oh, human resources policy, yes. Maybe you're like shopping for insurance. You're like, I feel like the Lord is leading me as I'm shopping for insurance to protect the buildings that God gave this church. Thank you, Lord. It's like all these charismatic moments. I would say that those things are the work of the Holy Spirit. Those things are the move of the Holy Spirit. And to people who say that planning and administration is not the work of the Holy Spirit, I say, please don't quench the Holy Spirit, because he wants to work through those things too. He wants to work in the spontaneous moment, and he also wants to work through the planning and the protection and the forethought. They go hand in hand because they are both the Lord at work. We've read this already, 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Manifestation of the Spirit. What? It's kind of a weird word, isn't it? We don't use that word very often. Manifestation. Here's the definition. Manifestation is an event, action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something, especially a theory or an abstract idea. Now, there's not a whole lot more abstract idea than the Holy Spirit. God with us in spirit form? What? So manifestation is something that embodies an abstract idea or a version or incarnation of something or someone. The gifts are an incarnation, a God in the flesh, where the Holy Spirit comes, and we are his bodies. And through us, it makes himself known. He displays himself in the world. So every one of these gifts are actually a demonstration of who God is. So God is healer. He is communicator. He is encourager. And he is administrator? Yeah. God is an administrator. So as we look at these gifts, we're not just valuing or devaluing gifts. We're valuing or devaluing God himself in each one of those gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, 33 and 40. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Have you ever had confusion, disorganization cause conflict? Oh, when have we not, right? So organization produces an easy environment where people can get along and understand one another more clearly, and the systems work. It brings peace, doesn't it? God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Verse 40, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Why? Because he's a proper and orderly God. That's why. We are living out who he is through the gifts. There's an example of a guy in the New Testament, Titus. Paul wrote this letter to Titus to set him up, to launch him out into an administrative career. And look at this guy. Here's Paul's instruction to Titus. Verse 4. To Titus, my true child in common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. I'm leaving you behind. Here's what I want you to do. Get it in order. All right. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Jump into verse 13. Diligently help Zenas, the lawyer. That's a nerdy thing to say. Yeah, help the lawyers. Doesn't seem charismatic, but here we go. Help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. You see all that administrative action happening there? Here are the gifts that administrators give to the church. First of all, order and peace. Isn't that so great? Who wants to come in and just have chaos among God's people? No. We like things to be peaceful. Readiness for good works. That's the thing about plans, is we can structure in systems that help prepare us for good works. When needs arise, it's nice to be ready to be able to meet those things, isn't it? Administrators help prepare us to be responsive for things that happen. Opportunities that come up for good works. Efficient logistics. Zenas and Apollos are about to head out. Can you make sure they have everything they need? Bill Pagrin with your Carry the Cure. Don't you love people who can get the logistics ready to get your teams out to where they need to go? Man, there's tons of things that need to be arranged in order for good works to happen. And it's the administrators that make sure all the details are taken care of so that people like Bill can eat and his teams can have effective good works. Man, it's good stuff, isn't it? Organized for fruitfulness. Learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so they will not be unfruitful. Here's what administrators do. Administrators build the systems that make us effective in good works. Is that cool? But remember this, administrators, here's your instructions. Systems exist to serve the church. The church does not exist to serve your systems. Don't love your system so much that you sacrifice the people in the church to obey the rules. Put some flexibility into your systems. And if you are making rules that become obstacles to people fulfilling good works, there's something wrong with your system. Now, administrators, you're drawn to create order out of chaos. But guess what? When we are expanding the kingdom of God, when we're going into new places to do good works, that means good works need to be done there. There's some sort of need and there's some sort of desire for the gospel or something that has not been there before. So there's a little bit of chaos. So there's always going to be some sort of chaos when we're engaged in good works and serving people. Administrators, you need to be okay with a little bit of chaos in your life. Build that into your system. Like, here's where it's orderly. Here's where we allow chaos. And that will take some pressure off. Systems were there to serve the people. Jesus said, he was talking about the Sabbath. He said the Sabbath and all the rules around the Sabbath are made for the benefit of man. Man was not made for the benefit of the Sabbath. So make sure the rules are in service of the people and what God wants to do through his people. I do this personally. I try to write a policy into my life to make myself more responsive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And one simple policy that I've tried to adopt is pray immediately. Like when people ask, hey, would you pray for me about this? My policy is now, hey, can we pray about that right now? And almost always people say yes. And what that does is in the moment, I have this policy that protects that moment so that it gives me guidance. I know Feedy, when he's putting together a worship set, he builds in time. There's extra time in there so that when the Holy Spirit wants to do something, he's structured in the ability to respond well and still protect everything else that has to happen throughout the day. You build in responsiveness within your systems. They don't conflict. They actually support one another. When it's led by the Spirit, he is serving his people through it. So build flexibility into your policies. God is an administrator. And God is a leader too, right? God is a leader. Jesus said this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You love me? Do what I say. He has no problem with telling people what to do. And he also says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There's this idea where he is taking you as you are and bringing you to a higher state, something that you couldn't do on your own. Follow me and I'm going to do something great with you. I'm going to tell you what to do too, but we're going somewhere good together. Peter is probably one of the most famous leaders in the New Testament. He was one of the first disciples. He was one of the first ones to say that, to admit that Jesus, yes, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah. He's one of the first ones to step out of the boat in faith and actually walk on water. He's one of the first ones to stick his foot in his mouth. And he's one of the first ones to be reconciled back to God after he denied him. He's one of the leaders of the church. And Peter learned a lot about leadership. He learned a lot. And he wrote some really interesting things in his letter. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. Here's what he learned about leadership. It says this, we're coming to him, to Christ, as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He says, you guys are all these spiritual stones, and that's amazing. But you know what? Together, Christ is building us up into a temple, a house together that is going to be a house of worship and sacrifice and prayer. He says, you are one state and we're moving to a higher state together. He's painting this vision. Isn't that amazing? The spiritual house for a holy priesthood. In fact, he says later, verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He has this vision for what's possible for God's people. He says, you were this thing. You were these scattered, disunified people, and now together you are a royal priesthood. You're built together to be this residence of God, who's making a difference in the world around you. He has this vision for what could be, and he's bringing people along as he works to realize that vision. Here's the gift that leaders bring. Growth into higher states of being. Have you ever served under a leader who took the time to develop you? And by the end of your time working with that person, you felt like they raised me from where I was into something better. Like they changed me into a higher state of being. Ever been around those people? Isn't that refreshing? Motivation toward shared vision. Look where we can go together. Look what God has for us. We can do it. Empowering and celebrating. Unifying and directing. Here's what leaders do. Leaders help people transform into a higher state. Building us up together to accomplish what we could never accomplish alone. To be the people we would never be without the guidance of a leader to inspire us and motivate us to get the things we already wanted. We just didn't know how to get there. Leaders are a gift to the church. But remember this. Here's the instruction for leaders. Leadership exists to advance people. People do not exist to advance the leader. As we're leading, as you're leading, remember that the point of leadership is to serve the people God gave you to lead. It's to go before them in order to make a path easier for them to follow. You don't go before them so that you build up your ego by how many people are following you. That's not leadership. Leadership is when you blaze the trail because out there is where everybody knows we want to go and we just need somebody to break the path for us. It's not, I develop all these people so that I can sit on top of them in the organization and feel good about my position. No, it's building up the people so that together we can accomplish amazing things. That's what leadership is really about. Leaders love mission statements. And administrators love service orders. Leaders love motivation. They love to motivate people to do good things. And administrators, they love to pay the insurance and take care of the details. Leaders decide, they're the ones who decide what curriculum we're going to use for our kids' ministry, and administrators are the ones who put together the schedule so that they make sure the preacher gets done in time so that the children's ministry workers don't go crazy. That's what they do. So I'm going to wrap this up pretty soon, administrators. In fact, worship team, you can come on up. We're going to wrap it up soon if you're watching your clock. Leaders help us see where we need and want to go, and administrators make us more efficient in that pursuit. Hey, man, right on time. Good work. Leaders bear the weight of breaking the trail, and administrators put up road signs for the people to follow. Leaders wear the targets of criticism because they're the ones out in front. And administrators feel the brunt of the chaos that's created. Leaders give the gift of inspiration, and administrators give the gift of smooth operation. We need these things, don't we? It can be difficult to know whether you have the spiritual gift of administration, the spiritual gift of leadership, because they seem kind of like skills. How do you know if it's a gift of God working through you? It's kind of hard to know, but let me tell you, the point of all of this is love for God's people. And it's love for seeing Christ glorified. And if those are your motivations in those things, and you feel God at work as you pursue those tasks, it's probably the Lord. So receive it as a gift from the Lord and use it to grow God's kingdom, to serve his people. We need you. The church needs you. So please don't keep hiding behind your Excel sheets. Come out and serve us. Come out with your labeling guns and your schedules. Come out with your vision for greatness and your ability to motivate and inspire people. Because we need to be inspired. We need to be motivated. We need to be able to set our eyes on what God has for us as a church. And we need to have our path structured in a way that we are ready for good works when they arrive. Here's Paul in Philippians 3. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Follow my example. I'm walking in front of you. Follow our pattern. We've created a pattern that works. Leadership, administration, toward the upward call and the glory of Christ through that upward call. Today, as we move into worship, our final song of worship, the prayer team is going to be available in the back. And we don't need other people in order to connect with God. But man, God put people in our lives because it's together that we build one another up. And it's so encouraging. So I encourage you, if you would like to join them in prayer for anything, go talk to them. But specifically today, my encouragement and direction for us is, let's invite the Holy Spirit to draw out the gifts that he's put in us, to unlock those things that we thought were not spiritual, but we realize that God is wanting to express himself through us, and ask him, how would you like me to use this gift? Let's spend some time thanking God for the many ways he expresses himself through all the various people around us. And if there are gifts that we've been devaluing in other people, let's pray that God would give us value for them and help us recognize the move of God in other people's lives. They're so vastly different than us, and yet we need one another. We need our varieties of gifts. We need the chaotic people. We need the organized people. We need the leaders. We need the people who love to be told how to serve. We need one another. So let's spend some time inviting the Lord to do his work, to unite us, and to equip us for those good works. Would you stand with us? Father, again, we're grateful that you chose to express yourself through us. I pray that you will, as you always do, be faithful to meet each person where they are looking for you. I pray that you'll help us respond to what you're doing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more of our podcasts and to discover how you can connect, visit us at churchak.org or download our Church on the Rock AK app from either iTunes or Google Play.